We'll be looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29 this morning. Secret seeds and great growth. When I was starting to prepare for this message, I was looking up pictures of mustard bushes in New Testament times. And I had the verses down as verses 30 through 34. And I said, wait a minute, there's a gap. I haven't covered 26 to 29. Now, what's all that about? And so I read this parable of the seed. And I thought, that's interesting. I don't think I've read too often about that parable. Found out it was unique to the Gospel of Mark. It was the only unique parable in the Gospel of Mark. All of the others are shared with Matthew or Luke. But this is unique to Mark. So let's look at these verses. And he was saying that he is Jesus. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. This follows shortly after Jesus told the parable of the four different soils. The first one was hard ground. It was the hard ground of the path. And as the sower sowed the seed, some of it fell on hard surface. There was no root. And Jesus said the birds came and took it away. The second ground was the shallow ground. It was rocky. The plants grew quickly, but had very small roots, and soon the sun came out, and the plants dried up and blew away. There was a shallowness to what was happening in their lives. Then there was the thorny ground. The thorny ground was weedy. It's crowded out with other things. And Jesus said that those were the cares of the world and the desire for riches, and other things just came in and crowded out the gospel in the lives of these people. But then there was the good soil, and the seed grew, and there was harvest of 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Plants have always been important in the Bible. Plants were created before animals, and of course that had to be because the animals eat the plants, and their life depends on plant growth. The tree of life was the center of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve could go to the tree of life whenever they wanted to, and their life was everlasting. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also in the garden, and that was their only temptation. Wouldn't it be great if we only had one temptation to deal with? The great kingdoms of the world were compared to huge trees where birds, which symbolized the nations of the world, lived. This was true of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. Uncle Bill and Aunt Karen will be talking about Daniel this week in Vacation Bible School. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that his kingdom was a huge tree and that it was cut down, it was taken away from him because of his pride. So this parable is a parable about secret seeds and great growth. And even, we could say, secret growth. It was natural for God or Jesus to use nature to explain the spiritual growth of Christians. After all, God was the one who created the world. He created all of the plants to bear seed and produce after its kind, the Bible says. There is a consistency in the way God works. And I'm glad that's true. A consistency which enables doctors who will be dealing with Bob's friend's bladder cancer, and they look at certain cancers and they treat all of those cancers in the same way. It would be horrible if each cancer was unique and they had to discover for each cancer that came up. But fortunately, even in disease, there is a consistency and the doctors can deal with cancer in the same way they deal with other cancers. He works in nature in the same way he works in our lives. And so in this parable, the farmer goes out and he plants seeds. He doesn't really know what makes them grow, and they don't require constant attention. I shared with you when I did the other sermon on the different soils that I planted grass seed. And I'm a little bit impatient. I went out day after day and I was looking at it. It's not working. It's not growing. Still a bare patch right there. But eventually, I saw the little grass growing. And now I can hardly tell where the grass was changed from the moss. But it grows. And God does that. The farmer doesn't go out into the field with each seed. Can you imagine David had to do that, right? Dig it up and say, yeah, it's coming along, and put it back in the ground again. No, he puts it in the ground and he goes and has dinner and he goes to bed at night. And the seed grows. This message is for you who serve the Lord. For pastors, I've preached hundreds of sermons. And sometimes it just doesn't seem like anybody's growing. You know, I've seen people maybe in the church, and the growth is gradual, like our kids' growth, and I don't even notice people growing older. But it's harder to see the spiritual growth, isn't it? The kids in your Sunday school class, they don't seem to be paying attention. But we keep sowing the seeds, don't we? We keep sharing the Lord with those little kids. There seems to be apathy and indifference. And we go over to that patch of soil and we're looking at it and saying, doesn't look like much growth. But those little seeds start to sprout and they start to grow in the hearts of the believers. And there is growth. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. That was his job. And then God takes over. They don't need constant attention. We just have to faithfully sow the seed. What can we learn? Well, the first thing we see is the mysterious growth in this parable. And we understand that there's no set formula for sharing the gospel. And I thought this for a long time when I was a kid because I couldn't see the growth in my own life. And an evangelist would come to town and he would start talking about the changes that take place in a believer after they trust Jesus as their Savior. And they don't do this and they don't do that and they don't do this. And I was doing this and I was doing that. And maybe I wasn't doing this, but I, you know. And so I said, well, maybe I didn't say the right words the last time. Maybe I didn't pray the right prayer. And so I'd go forward again, start all over again. And I did that a number of times. And then I came to the realization that the first time I did it was the seed planted. And it had been growing. Maybe not up to my expectations or the expectations of the evangelists that came through town at that time, but it was growing. And I was changing. This mysterious growth that's happening, and this is the work of God in our lives. And we don't actually see sometimes that person born again. Sometimes, you know, you see the tears and you see the weeping. And then there's people like me, who I one time sat in the midst of the revival. Everybody all around me was crying, and I'm from New England. I was just sitting there. And a lot of times I think it happens like that, especially in the Northeast. We're not those who show our emotions very well. But then we see the gradual growth in this parable. The one planting the seed needs to be patient. Like my seed that I planted, I was a little impatient, but I didn't tear it up, start over again. The seeds need time to germinate and grow. You can't plant today and pick tomorrow. It takes a while. James 5, 7 and 8 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains." You too, he says, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Galatians 6, 9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season," you see, it's the same type of a statement here about growth. "In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Don't lose heart. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. According to Hudson Taylor, there are only three qualifications for a missionary: patience, patience, and patience. Psalm 126:5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shout." You can't explain the growth. But I think one of the things we as Christians should do in our own lives is expect the growth. We should see ourselves growing. We don't understand it. And don't wait around until you do understand it to share it. I think it was in Philemon that says we don't understand it fully until we start to share it with other people. And we're going, ah, that's how it works. And it changes the way we see it. I like what Vance Havner says. He said, "I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do." Do it. One preacher said it's like Miracle-Gro. It works. And then we see not only the mysterious growth, the gradual growth, but certain growth. The growth is built into the seed. The Greek word for by itself is automatos. Sounds like one of our words, doesn't it? Automatic. You plant the seed, the rain comes and waters it, germinates, it grows. Because it's the plan of God. We share the gospel, and there will be a harvest. We can be sure of it. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Everyone who hears it, it's salvation for them. Then he said to his disciples in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." We work together in this harvest. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." So we share, we plant the seed, and God brings the growth. Brian Bill shared 8 principles of growth. He said it's normal to not see immediate results from evangelism. You may simply be the first in a long line of seed sowers. The statistics say it takes about 7 times hearing the gospel for a person to trust Christ as their Savior. You might be the first, you might be the second, but you might be the last. So it's normal not to see the immediate results. It's normal for a Christian to grow. If you're not growing, something's wrong. Get in that place where the Lord is bringing growth in your life. Germination is spontaneous, but growth is not instantaneous. Growth takes time. Growth takes time. Growth is not always easy to measure, especially spiritual growth. How do you see that happening in your life? It would be nice to be able to measure it. I'm not sure how you do that, though. Be gracious with those who still need to grow, as we grow at different speeds. So you need to be patient with those who grow slower than you do. Be intentional about your own growth. Look at the people who you know who are growing in the Lord. And don't get discouraged, but use their example. I once knew a guy, he quit church because somebody who was a new Christian was growing past him. He said, I don't want to go to church anymore. These people are doing better than I am. Made him look bad. But God wants us all to grow and become the people he intends us to be. Help others grow, but remember that God brings the growth. And then sow the seed in your children and wait for it to sprout. That's the greatest privilege we have in life, isn't it? It's to share the gospel with our kids. So the parable of the seed. Secret growth, but great growth. I don't know about those of you who came here yesterday to help out, but we planted some seed yesterday. And it was kind of neat. It made me think we've had Trunk or Treat for 2 years now. And the difficult part, I think, with Trunk or Treat is getting the message across. But we sat under the big top yesterday and heard the message from Uncle Bill and Aunt Karen as they shared the gospel with puppets and Uncle Cousin and with the magic board and different methods, but the same message. And there were some teenagers sitting in the back, and someone came over to me and said, the teens in the back row are asking when the next program's going to be. It wasn't running off to the water slide or the bouncy house or playing the games or grabbing a hot dog or cotton candy. It was, when's the next program going to be? And I thought, wow, we're planting a seed in their lives. Not only the little kids that were there, but some of the teens. We came together yesterday. Karen, I talked to Karen about doing this program, and she said, well, I'll organize it, and I'll get people going on it. And then her mom was sick, and she had to fly down to Florida for a couple of days. And I thought, oh no, what are we going to do? And Brooke thought, oh no, what are we going to do? But all of you who came, I think, you know, we didn't tell you what to do. You just kind of did everything. And I thought, the Lord's here today. And the Lord's leading us here today. And this is the work of the Lord today. And we're planting those seeds today. And to have one of the guys from the community come and say, I was here, I don't know, 50 or so years ago, maybe a little bit more. And I was able to reintroduce him to Bill, and Karen took their picture together. I hope that makes the next newsletter. And it was just so neat that he came. He told me, he said, you know, when I was here, I brought the most kids and I won a baseball glove. And I used that glove for years. That seed was planted way back years ago. Back, would that have been in the 70s? 60s? Wow. Long time ago. And so the seeds are planted. So this year, I want you to be thinking about how we can plant some seeds at Trunk or Treat. And then even if we do this again next year, how we're going to get that same gospel across. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to plant seeds and see them grow. Thank you so much for yesterday, everyone who was involved. The Lord was working in us and in our community. And we thank him for that. And if you're tempted to say to yourself, I'm too old to work in VBS, do I have to say anything more? Bill, I thank God for you and for Karen and a present day Caleb. Caleb was 80 years old when he went into the promised land and he said to Joshua, give me that mountain. I think Bill's got Caleb beat by a few years. And if you don't come to help, you should at least come to hear to experience what God does through the ministry of this man and his wife. Our Father, we thank you for Bill and Karen and for their years of ministering to children all around the world. So many times when they've come here, Lord, I've thought they've come so far for so few kids, and yet they're willing to come. I thank you, Lord, that we had more kids yesterday. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring more tonight, that we might have a good number of kids coming, not only to be a part of our program, but to come to you as Savior and grow in grace. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our Vacation Bible School and everyone who comes to help. In Jesus' name, amen.